Hey everyone, this is Sean Yurt-Curran. You've heard me on WYAB on the radio, and you can also catch me on the new Hulu series, Death in the Dorms, Season 2. I just wanted to introduce you all to my law firm, the Yurt-Curran Law Firm. I'm located over in Fondren on Mill Street in Jackson, Mississippi. I've got over 18 years of law practice under my belt, including a decade as a felony prosecutor in Hinds County and at the Mississippi Attorney General's Office. I spent all those years putting bad guys away. Now let me help keep you out. You can call me anytime at 601-906-909. For a consultation, or just if you want to talk about something about your case. I'm committed to helping you navigate the complexities of the legal system, which I know can be difficult and confusing and downright scary at times. Let me help you use my experience to explain the system to you and how it works and how I can best help you. You can call me again at 601-906-9094 to discuss any of this and any of your worries. Trust me to handle your defense where it is going to be my priority and your future will be my focus.
All right, folks, we are back, and it is Tuesday. Glad to be back here in the studios. Folks, this is your host. Who? It's Radio Strongman, Kim Wade. I'm coming to you live from WYAB 103.9 FM. Well, folks, it is Tuesday. We've got some good information for you today. The first hour we've got in the studio is a blast from our past. Walter Wofford, the man who knows more about real estate than anybody that I know, probably 10 or 15 people together. And what Walter showed me is that all those years I was in real estate, I was in the wrong end of it. Teeny did I realize until I got with him and he said, oh, here. And then, this is actually a lot easier. Seems to be a little bit more profitable and I'm a lot less stressed.
Great.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. Glad to be here. Glad to be here again.
You pull that towards you there. Pull it down. Make it comfortable for you. There you go.
There we go.
Yeah, man, it's good to have you back, Walter Wofford. And, we've had him on the air about four or five times now since the beginning of the year. Well, the beginning of last year, I guess. Yeah, I guess it's been over a year, hasn't it? And we've talked about different topics, different opportunities. Folks, as long as we maintain this form of government that we have, where private property rights are respected and the rule of law is respected, real estate will always be a great opportunity for those who partake. Would you not agree, Walter?
I do. I do agree. And I've been doing it 42 years.
42
That's
years.
About as long as you've been doing it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you probably got about five or six on me. And, you know, and we, you guys stayed in the investment side, and I stayed on the residential side, even though we started out doing a lot of the things together. That's when, back in the days when, I mean, it was just a straight-up handshake deal. And you leave the luncheon and go out and look at the house, and the deal is done, and everybody made a little money. It was a fun time then. It really was.
Well, times are returning.
Is that right?
Well, you know, we did, even back then, we didn't need a contract.
That's
if we
right.
had an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a price. Here's prorate the taxes. Who's going to pay for closing? And we did a lot of transactions that mm-hmm. way.
That's right. And while things have changed, the opportunities are still there. And Walter is here to tell you about some different aspects. Folks, there are, and I was saying the other day on the air, most people don't understand real estate. Even real estate professionals don't understand all angles. As it is with lawyers, they don't do all areas of the law. And I know the court system is really a little vague on what all the different titles and names and all that stuff mean. But there are opportunities for those who want to avail themselves of information. And that's what Walter consistently gives out to those who want to partake. And that's what he's here to talk to us about today. Information that you can use for what, passive income?
Passive income generation.
Okay.
All right, so at some point, and Kim, I'm speaking to you,
okay,
that you want to get off that treadmill of transaction-based income.
Right.
And that's what your realtor
right.
fees are. And, of course, Kim and I both have been incapacitated with COVID years ago and spent some time in the hospital, so we know firsthand what it's like to have your transaction-based income interrupted. Correct?
That is correct.
And so it's fresh on my mind, and I want to just assure, everybody had, we don't realize yet that everybody here listening has a terminal illness.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what that is? old age.
Yeah. Coming to get you.
Anyway, so if your income, if your transaction-based income is interrupted through health or you just want to quit working, then that's why passive income is such an important piece. And of course, we've been in the rental business in Jackson for many years, and we help tenants become homeowners by seller financing to them. But there's always opportunities if you just take time to listen, that it's more of investment real estate is more of a thinking man's game rather than a running man's game. Because if you sit down and look at the opportunity, you could come up with 10 different ways.
Right.
And I tell my my buddies, you know, buying for cash is just one of 100 ways.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And selling for cash is just one of 100 ways.
And, you know, that's one of the things that we've been trying to do to get people to understand that there are multiple ways, many ways to purchase, to sell, to buy. And you need to be open to the opportunity. But many times you need to be educated so that you can be open to the opportunities because they're out there.
Lots of them. So let me just mention a couple of more passive income opportunities. So today up here, I was listening to the stock market fell 500 points. That's a pretty big drop.
Yeah.
And so we're not so dependent on that. We're looking to create income streams, passive income streams. I like to call it mailbox money, where you can, of course, people don't get checks in the mail anymore. They get them directly to put into your account. But I like generating a passive income because the more gray hair that I get, the more I don't want to have to go out and repeat the transaction. I want to do one transaction that has residual income coming in. And that's what we can do. You know, there's I took the time earlier this year to go down and find out how many active buyers in Hinds County, active real estate investor buyers. How many do you think there would be? I can give you an exact number.
I would have no idea. I would think those who have an ear to hear, they are active buyers if the opportunity is presented to them. So I don't. I really don't have a number.
Well, there. I can tell you.
Tell me.
There's over 350 active buyers who've bought and sold multiple properties in Hinds County in the last 6 months.
So is there a flag on their file somewhere to say, I am an active real estate investor?
No, I had to buy the data from the county, which you can do, and I went down. Of course, in Hinds County, you can't look at the documents without going down there.
Right.
So I have spent many, many, many hours looking at documents and determined, you know, if they're buying an LLC, most likely they're an investor. And then when they buy multiple, yeah, then I want to talk to those folks because I want to get in their way of commerce, either buying or selling.
Right.
And, you know, we've got a lot of people who invest in Jackson from around the country, a whole lot of people. Out in the parking lot, I was just talking to two investors from Miami.
Really?
That they are buying lots of properties here in Jackson. I'm selling.
They just happen to be walking there?
No, no. They would call me on the phone.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, wait a minute. Let me. We'll be right back.
There's another young couple that I've been very impressed with. They're from Israel, buying in Jackson, fixing up to rent properties. And so there are whole bunches of people that are doing that. Not so many people from Jackson doing it, percentage-wise.
Right.
Because it's, you know, if people come from California, they see that you can buy a house for $40,000, $50,000, it rents for $1,000. They start slobbering.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah.
Because you can't do that out in California.
That's right. And, you know, and that's it. Opportunities. When you leave your hometown or leave where you are, the opportunities will become clear. When you're sitting there where you've always sat, you know, it's the same old drab, this, that, or the other. That's why you need to expand your horizons, and Walter's trying to help you do that if you have an ear to hear. So you're talking about passive income. You're talking about the different folks who are taking advantage of it. How can someone get involved with – well, first of all, just you say it's helicopter money or mailbox money.
Mailbox money. Mailbox not money. Helicopter money.
Oh, yeah, that's COVID money. I'm sorry. PPP.
Yeah, so over the Christmas holidays, I got a group of about 10 people like-minded who – generate opportunities to mm-hmm. invest. And that would be selling a house that somebody wants to fix and flip, fix it up, sell it retail, or somebody wants to have a rental. These are active buyers and sellers in the Jackson market. And I said, why don't we create an event? And we called it PassiveCashflowInvestors.com. So on your phone, just type that in there, or your computer, PassiveCashflowInvestors.com. And what we've settled on, so we've had three meetings, January, February, and March. Mm-hmm. And so far, we've had 135 people come to one or more of those meetings. And you know what's interesting about that, Kim? I didn't know 80% of them.
Fresh investors are idealists.
Well, so we, you know, nobody's got a corner on the market for sure here in Jackson. There's not one person that does 1% of 1% of the transactions. So we don't have any big players. All the hedge funds have tucked their tails between their legs and left. Most of them have.
Tell us about the hedge fund just quickly before we go to the break.
All right,
what's going on with them?
Well, I can't tell you for sure other than there have been about six that have come to town in the last 5 to 7 years. And their idea was to buy a property, fix it up, and they did that. They spent a lot of money fixing them up, and they wanted to just rent them. And what that has done, it took so many of the first-time home buyers off the market. The houses that would be first-time home buyers just weren't available because they gobbled them up. One company bought, over the last 3 years, over 1,000 houses. And what they had made the classic mistake that I've made before is buying too much too fast, more than you can fix up and get the income generate.
Right.
And so at one point they had 250 houses in Jackson vacant, getting vandalized, not getting fixed up.
And it caused the ire of many city officials, elected officials, and resulted in landlord-tenant inspection laws. So we kind of took it in the shorts here because of that.
Well, they got cheap money. Yeah. They borrowed. I know one of them borrowed money from a teachers union out in a western state, and they might have paid 2 or 3% to keep the money working. And then they would buy the house and rent it out for these high rates that we have in Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just working on the spread, but they weren't helping the community other than they were improving the property.
Right.
But they weren't putting homeowners in there.
Right.
And I think that's – now, when you become mayor, mm-hmm. I want you to focus on that.
Well, you know, my thoughts are the taxes are still being paid. The property was improved. I think we need to also address the poverty of the spirit of the renter and of Jacksonians in general, because the poverty of the spirit is leading to a lot of this crime, also along with the trash and everything else. But that's another show. We'll get to that at some point. But you're absolutely right. It cuts both ways, to say the least. It cuts both ways, what they were doing, investing, et cetera. And we can do more responsible investing, which is something you've been saying all down through the years with your impact investing, that you can do it, make a nice profit, and do good at the same time.
Right. And so we add another element that most people don't, and that is we use retirement accounts to buy these houses.
Mm-hmm.
And these would be Roth IRAs and 401ks and even some specialty accounts like your health savings account. If you had one that you could self-direct, you could buy a house in it.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy and sell a house. You could rent it. There's also the Coverdell Education Savings Account. You can self-direct that. And so take your skill. You got mm-hmm. skill of buying and selling.
Mm-hmm.
Use this account that might be for a grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
Has that. And the money goes back into the account, and then it's sent off to the school, and you don't pay taxes on the money.
Mm-hmm.
See, so many people hadn't figured this out, that you got to earn investment income, then pay taxes on it, then send them to school.
Mm-hmm.
If you do a Coverdell Education Savings Account, very easy to do, and you self-direct it into real estate or something you know, you earn the investment income. You do not pay the taxes when you send the money off to the school.
That's right. That's right. And then you have the ability, as it says, self-directed to make the investment choices that help grow it. And because you're not using that, you don't intend to use that money for anything other than the purpose of educating your kid, grandkid, et cetera. It's basically you put the thing on steroids. Your money is literally working for you. Your dollars are making dollars.
Well, your skill set is working for you too. Okay. So the stock market, I don't know anything about the stock market, so maybe somebody needs to educate me, but I don't have any influence over the stock market.
Right.
You can buy and sell. That's not true with real estate. Mm-hmm. I can take a house that I can buy wholesale and from in the wholesale arena, fix it up and sell it retail with financing.
Right.
That's arbitrage, buying in one market, selling in another market with financing.
Hmm. Folks, we're talking with Walter Walford. Walford, do you have a contact information, web address? I know you're not real big on all the social media, Instagram, and all that kind of stuff. But
I am not. But just type in your browser on your phone or your computer, PassiveCashflowInvestors.com.
PassiveCashflowInvestors.com. Our hotline number is brought to you by Complete Exteriors Roofing and Gutter. That number is 601-879-0002. You got a question or comment for Walter, give us a call. All right, folks, we got the Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Walford is here in the studios with us. I like Walter. The main thing is that he is so willing to give information because I guess he's realized over the years you need the more the merrier. You want that currency to flow.
Well, you got to have a team.
Got to have a team.
You know, I found that out early on when I was at Millsaps College in the 70s.
Mm.
For some reason or another, I was knocking on doors in Belhaven trying to buy houses.
Mm.
I didn't have anybody to help me, so I had the eye of the tiger. I had desire and discipline. I just didn't have somebody to show me.
Mm-hmm.
And had I had a mentor at that time in my life, it would have changed my life dramatically. Because
mm-hmm.
I already knew what I wanted to do. You know, college was just kind of a waste of time for me.
Right, right. Well, you know, we're here talking about passive income. Walter, now you mentioned about mayoral aspirations and yada, yada. One of the things that I would like to do in that capacity, there is a ball of money tied up in the housing stock in Jackson. I'd like to take that Coverdale educational IRA and all the various IRAs you're talking about and let these people who are settled down with student loans employ the technique Walter's talking about, buy up some of these houses and use the income from those investment opportunities, whether it's buying notes or buying the houses, to pay off your student loan while at the same time improving the housing stock in Jackson. Everybody's making money. Everybody's happy. It's not rocket science.
No, it'll work.
It'll work all day long. So if you're interested, and particularly for those of you out there who's got somebody who can work with their hands, can do a little bit of work, that's an opportunity for you. Or if you don't have someone but you just want to make your put your money to work for you, make your money make money, then that's what Walter's talking about. So how often do you guys meet?
All right, so this is PassiveCashflowInvestors.com. Mm-hmm. Put it in your browser. So we meet once a month on a Saturday morning,
mm-hmm.
third Saturday in the month. And it's a 9 to 12, and then we have lunch. Mm-hmm. So we have catered in. We charge $20,
mm-hmm.
okay, and you get lunch.
Okay.
Now, that's something you can afford, right?
Yeah.
But more importantly is we have four or five different presentations on different passive cash flow models. Okay? So we had last time we had this may – you know this exists, but many people don't, that you can use short-term rentals, Airbnb,
mm-hmm.
VRBO. You can actually do that with your retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
So the income you make is tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then you're not going to be drawing down on that retirement money anytime soon. All you're doing is growing the egg. Because what would be happening to that money otherwise? It would just be, what, sitting there? And
well, you're going to be paying Uncle Sam a big share of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not necessary because Congress gave us these tools. And you say, well, how long have these been around? Well, you could have self-directed a traditional IRA beginning in 1978.
Okay.
All right. Now, that's a few. I was in college.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 44 years ago.
All right. So, in 98, the Roths mm-hmm. came out, and mm-hmm. so you don't get a deduction when you make a contribution to a Roth, but mm-hmm. it grows tax-deferred. And when you take out a qualified distribution, which means, by definition, you've had the account open for 5 years and you're at least 59 and a half, then you can take that money out tax-free.
Right.
That's a huge difference.
Mm. Well, now, let's just say people hear IRA. They say, well, I got an IRA on my job. Is that the type of IRA that's eligible?
Yeah, so you got to get you're talking about a 401k mostly. And you don't really get access to that until you quit or you retire.
Okay.
And then they say, here's your IRA, here's your retirement account. You don't know what to do with it. So you got to learn what to do with it. And that's what we're there. That's what this passive cash flow investors, we're showing opportunities where somebody could take their retirement account and they can make a loan for a real estate transaction.
They become a banker.
They could become the bank. They could also participate. All right, you found a good deal, Kim. Mm-hmm. And I'm just picking numbers.
Right.
That would you do this? I'm going to test you in front of your audience.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you got a deal that you're buying for 40, you think you can sell it for 60 wholesale.
Right.
And you got everything going for you except the money, right?
Right.
And so would you offer this out? You find somebody, you put the money up, we'll put a deed of trust on the property to secure you. And when it sells, you get your 40 back, and we split the profit 50-50.
There you go.
Would you do that?
Folks, they're doing this all day long. So if you're in a position where they're telling you, okay, you got to take your money, it's going to be distributed, you need to do something with it, these are the ideals that he's offering. Just investigate. I mean, nobody's going to – once you attend the seminar, you're not being forced to buy the book at the end of the seminar.
We don't have any.
Yeah. None of that. You're getting information that you can go back and verify yourself through whatever sources you want to use. But it is an opportunity for you to take that money that they tell you out of your 401k that you got to take and do something with and put it in a educational fund for your grandchild or health fund or whatever else you want to do. And, again, invest it so you'll have that there to take care of the education or your health care needs, et cetera. It's not rocket science. In fact, it is a government gift. They don't give out many. But this is one that you can use.
And they've been doing it for years, Kim, many, many years. So what we give examples of how we create our own discounted mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go back to that $40,000, and instead of selling it wholesale for $60,000, we'll fix it up and sell it to a homeowner for $80,000 with financing. They put a down payment. So what do? We got a $40,000 basis, and we may have created a $70,000 mortgage. So we're creating our own discounted mortgages. We do that all the time. I did one this week already.
Folks, this is a great idea. For those of you getting that 13th check and you trying to figure out, Walter, how much money do they need? Do they need millions of dollars to become a thousandaire, a hundredaire? What do they need to start an IRA?
To contribute an IRA,
yeah.
That's one thing. That's one question, to start one now. But the other one is for those that already have those.
Right.
And so I would say you need to come and be an investigator. Come and pass the sniff test to see what you think. Because we have 12 people that started this group, and each person there generates deal flow.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we'd rather do a joint venture with somebody than take it all one on ourselves. And we learned that, didn't we?
That's right.
When markets change, you want to have joint venture partners.
So if you want to learn, and let's just say that you got some money that, okay, I don't know. I say, look, lend me $10,000. I'm going to pay you $2,500 on that in 30 days. Dude, you just made 25%.
You could do that. You could do that. Now, a lot of people don't realize that seller financing is a part of our economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading an article just a minute before I got on the show that the number of seller finance homes in the USA increased by 7.4% last year. And why? Why did they increase?
Because the people need options, yeah.
Because the houses were harder to sell because of higher interest rates. They didn't sell.
Right.
And so you and I remember back in 85 and 86 when the FHA mortgage was 18%, there were no buyers other than seller finance buyers.
Mm-hmm.
And so last year in the U.S., there were 90,000 seller finance transactions.
Wow. And folks, think about it. Don't walk off and let your property go back, not before talking with one of the professionals or Radio Strongman. And let's see if there's an option for you to not only save your credit, but maybe get a few pesos in the process. Because, look, you don't have to let it go back. Those 100 ways that Walter spoke of, this is just one of the various. You need information. At the end of the day, we're going to lay all this information out on a coffee table. You can say, oh, okay, I can see this. I can see that. And you're under no obligation. You can take it to your Uncle Joe or whoever else you need to, hey, is this legit?
And we're just, just showing you what we're doing. That's all we're doing, just showing examples. Now, I did over the New Year's, I came into the flow of some people who wanted to sell some of these mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, well, I don't want to do a seller finance because there's no liquidity. I can't get my money out. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's not true. Mm-hmm. That is not true if you structure it right. There are buyers for those notes. And I had a lady call me up. Never met her, but she had two seller finance notes in Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
She created them 4 years ago, and she needed to cash them out to go pay for her child's first year of college.
Right.
And so they had two notes. They had a loan balance of 47,
mm-hmm.
right at $1,000 total coming in, and these folks were paying on time. So I said, well, what do you want? How much do you want for that? And she said, I'd like to have $30,000 for these notes. And I said, I can do that. And we bought them.
Right.
And so I just bought a discounted mortgage. So I create them when we buy it for cash and then sell to tenants
mm-hmm.
as homeowners. We also buy discounted mortgages.
Wow. Folks, information, and that's going to be the third Saturday of the month at the Realtors Building there on, what is that?
It's behind Patty Pack.
Behind Patty Pack there in Ridgeland, right next to Ridgeland High. We'll be giving you more information. As a matter of fact, he can give you that web address right now before we go to break.
PassiveCashflowInvestors.com.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we're back, and we have Walter Wofford in the studios. That's the third Saturday in the month, every month, at the Realtors Building there in Ridgeland, right next to Ridgeland High School. And what time you start?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. And lunch is provided for $20.
Well, we need to know ahead of time. So that's why you go to the site, PassiveCashflowInvestors.com, because it's catered.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time we did it, we had 30 people that showed up unannounced.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of strained our food budget.
Yeah, they're staring at your sandwich there.
So let me tell you a little bit more about what we do.
Okay.
So the 10 or 12 people that came together that are active deal makers in our market have joint venture opportunities to show how they've done it using retirement accounts and non-retirement accounts. So we've talked about making a loan. You can do that to create passive income. You can joint venture with somebody to buy and sell a property.
Mm-hmm.
Can do that. You don't need a license for that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you own it. And we can do lots of different kinds of joint ventures.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about where we use our retirement accounts to buy the house at a wholesale price, fix it up, and sell it at retail to homeowners with financing. So here's what we say to the tenants, and see if you like this, Kim. All right, so you're the tenant. I'm making you a proposal. Would you invest 10% of the value of the house, and let's just call that $8,000,
okay,
for an investment for your family to lock in your housing costs for 20 to 30 years at a 30% discount from rent?
Mm.
Would you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a good proposition?
Well, and another way of looking at that 30% discount that you're paying on your housing costs monthly, look at it as folks clamor for a $15 an hour raise, $20 an hour. You're giving yourself a raise. Just look at it like that. Because at the end of the day, it's how much money you get to keep. It don't make a difference. You get all these raises, but you don't get to keep it because of taxes or high rent. This is about controlling your housing costs. If you can control your housing, your food, or your clothing, one or all three of those, it's like getting a pay raise. So this is what Walter's offering you. And for those who want owner financing options, Walter, is that something that you can make available to them, these folks that you talk about at this meeting?
Sure. What I do is I really educate folks about the benefits of seller financing, mm-hmm. and there are lots of them.
Right.
There are lots of them because, you know, if you owned an investment property for a number of years and you finance it, then your capital gains tax is spread out over the period of time that you're financing. So you don't have this big clobber of a tax bite
mm-hmm.
if you elect an installment sale. So there's a good reason for doing that.
That's right. And while he's not a CPA or a tax attorney, he shows how he has done those things. And then you can always consult and get more information, yada, yada, yada. But, folks, you got to see, you know, Walt, this is one of the things that people, when I hear people get mad at the millionaires or Trump or whoever, oh, man, they don't pay their taxes. Not. No, you can take advantage of these same laws like the IRAs. They're not being withheld from anybody. You just got to avail yourself of it.
Well, here's the thing, Kim, that of all the retirement account dollars in the U.S., 97% are in traditional investments, stocks and bonds. So those you buy them through your stockbroker or your financial planner, that sort of thing. The other 3% is in non-traditional.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just give you an example of what you could do with your IRA. You could build a spec house.
Mm-hmm.
You can borrow money to build a spec house. I've owned a boat slip that I rented out with my retirement account.
Hmm.
I bought land and subdivided it and financed it out. Okay? That's very commonly done.
Right.
We have made loans. We have made participation loans where not only do you get a return on your money, you get a piece of the profit or a joint venture. We've done a bunch of those. And so you got to understand the opportunity.
That's right. That's right. And that's where that information, getting educated now. You know, a lot of you folks, you're waiting on a big settlement from Richard Schwartz or whatever like that. You need to be getting information as you wait on that money so you can be better educated rather than just become someone who's out there buying a lot of consumer items. You can make your money work for you and then still get the consumer items off the money that's working for you. There's a method to this madness.
Kim, you know what I found out? That most investors who buy real estate assets don't think about their exit. What's going to happen when they sell it? And so if you buy a house with your retirement account on the front end,
mm-hmm.
then when you sell it, you're not going to be paying any taxes if it's a Roth IRA,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
That is not true if you don't use your retirement account.
That's right.
Because they got depreciation, recapture, and capital gains, and it could easily be 40%.
That's right. And Uncle Sam gets extremely narrow-minded about his partnership relationships. He let's just say that he's extremely focused on getting his money.
So I'm happy to meet with anybody if they've got a house they need to sell. Or, you know, another thing that I do is I look for people that need really somebody to make a house call.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so let's say they're behind on their payments. So they don't know their choices.
Right, right.
They don't know I can go down this road and go to this road. I can sell. I don't have to sell. I can rent. I need some help. I need to get some money to get it caught up, that sort of thing. And so usually when people are down the road far enough, they got a deer in the headlight, they freeze. They don't know. And so I'll come in and say, well, here's a possibility. Here's a possibility. Mm-hmm. How about this? How about this? How about this?
Right. And then if it doesn't work out, you hadn't lost anything. They haven't lost anything. But what people need is information. So, again, when you're in that situation, whether it's divorce, you inherited a house, you got a relative living in the house that you inherited, you got issues, we solve those problems for you. Certainly offer you the solutions, whether or not you want that problem solved. And, you know, Walter, people will look at us, oh, you guys are just bottom fishers. You're out there trying to take advantage of people. No, we're giving you information that you didn't have, and it may be, you know, a little take you back a little bit, but at the end of the day, you can take this same information and do it yourself if you want it.
Well, we're solving problems. And one of our group members, Stephanie, who's a realtor, she also is an investor. So she sees sellers often who cannot sell their house for some reason or another.
Right.
And it's usually because the luxury of not fixing their house. They got deferred maintenance. And so what are they going to do? They need to sell at retail. The house needs $20,000. They're never going to sell at retail until it's fixed.
Right.
Because the lenders won't get that far with them.
Right.
So she comes and does a joint venture with the seller.
Mm-hmm.
She comes and provides the capital mm-hmm. to get it fixed, and then they go and sell the house. That's very creative.
Right. And that's what you need. You need the experience. And this is why when you hear Rita Jensen says that she will guarantee the sale of your home, because Rita is bringing all these different options to bear, just as you hear the Hopper and Tom Smith Land and Homes, when it comes to moving land and putting together deals for land. That's what Tom never do. This stuff is not proprietary. It ain't like Walter's got all this and he's got it close to his chest and he's the only one who knows it. It's available for those who want to know.
Yeah, we're standing on the shoulders of others.
That's right.
This is not new. It's been around a long, long time.
That's right.
But the problem is that, and see if this is a true statement, because you've been in the realtor community a while.
Mm-hmm.
I was a realtor for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
They don't teach investment techniques mm-hmm. as part of their training.
That's right.
And so it's usually just buying and selling, but there's so many other wheels turning.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I told Walter last year, he had his own assignment down at the courthouse. I texted him, I said, man, this place is a printing press down here for money, if you know what you're looking for.
Sure.
Information, data is money. And I traffic in opportunity, and that opportunity comes in the form of data. Knowing things, you could do the same thing. Third Saturday in the month at the Realtor Building, there in Ridgeland, starting at 9 a.m.
But go to the site to sign up.
Okay. Don't show up. If not, you're going to be hungry at lunchtime.
PassiveCashflowInvestors.com. Put it in your browser. Now, we're about done, aren't we?
Hold that thought. Let's do a commercial. When we come back, we'll let you have about 4 minutes.
Good. Thank you.
All right, Walt, the final few minutes of the Kim Wade Show. Now, that's the third Saturday in the month at the Realtors Building, starting at 9 a.m. Go on site, go online, and register so you'll be acknowledged for lunch with your Hamilton with you. And but what else do they need to know?
All right, so that's PassiveCashflowInvestors.com. Type it in your browser. All right, so this meeting was really geared to not so much for real estate professionals.
Okay.
We're not trying to teach techniques to real estate professionals.
Right.
What we're trying to do is bring people that have money, they want passive mailbox money, and show them opportunities, local opportunities.
Mm.
Why let all the out-of-state investors get all the opportunities?
That's right. And then once you get this information in your head, it's a matter of repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse. So your desire is to you're looking for students. You're looking for acolytes. You want somebody who's got that burning desire.
Well, I'm looking for the guy just like me at mm-hmm. age 19 that knew that they wanted to be the entrepreneurial mm-hmm. route, that did not so much want a job as an opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's you and that's me mm-hmm. both. And I can show how we can use this impact invested in Jackson to help the community put homeowners in there using retirement accounts to buy them. It doesn't have to be your retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
And to do joint ventures, and that's what we're doing right now. And so it's a complicated model, as you know,
mm-hmm.
but it has a lot of benefits. And I could take somebody who had that fire in their eye, the tiger eye, and show them how to do it over a period of time. But if you don't have the discipline and if you don't have the desire, you won't last.
Folks, we're talking Walter Walford, and it seems like there's one other person that you need in that room. That's people with money that they can deploy that money, make more money. But you need information.
And so each time we have a different model that we're doing, and it's multiple speakers. It's not one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we bring in a lot of game. We make people, everybody in the room, stand up. Come mm-hmm. up here to the front. Tell us who you are, because this is a team sport.
Mm-hmm. And, again, you do the cross-pollinization, learn information, put you together a team. You let people know what you're looking for, and they're on the lookout for you. You can deploy that money. It ain't like you got to go out there and swing a hammer or drive around. You got people doing that. Again, that website?
PassiveCashflowInvestors.com. Type it in your browser.
And it's third Saturday in the month at the Realtors Building, but it's open to anyone, particularly those of you with money and those of you with that fire in your eye. Going to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we're back, and it is Tuesday. Glad to be back here in the studios. It's your host, who? It's Radio Strongman, Kim Wade. I'm coming to you live from WYAB 103.9 FM. Well, we want to thank Walter. I'm going to tell you, look, man, he's the real deal, Holyfield, folks. He really does dispense that knowledge on how you can invest in real estate, all different angles of it. So, again, I would encourage you to go to the third Saturday in the month at the Realtors Building at 9 a.m. Go online and register beforehand, and so you'll have lunch. If you're not going to eat lunch, I guess it ain't the biggest deal. There'll be plenty of chairs. But just keep that in mind that that's the purpose of registering online, so they'll have enough meals ready for you. And you're really going to get some good information. And for the you folks out there who don't let your house go into foreclosure, don't do that. Not without talking to the strong man, talking with, you see those signs that we buy houses. You know, you got some folks out there who are bottom fishers who, you know, catch you short and catch you lacking, and they may put the screws to you. But for the most part, they're not. And besides, all they're going to do is give you the information. You can say, no, I can't accept that, and move on. But what I like to do is lay it all out on the coffee table so you can see. But anyway, and if you're going through a divorce, you guys up there trying to play economic, emotional chicken, ruining both of y'all's lives, use some wisdom, okay? And to you divorce lawyers out there, domestic and chancery court lawyers, talk with there's nothing wrong with talking to a real estate agent because they do good work. You need to talk with an investor. I got a suggestion. Radio Strongman. Holler at your boy. But real talk, though. Also want to tell you about my Pure Air Consultants. It is allergy season. Folks, I didn't know I had that much mucus in my head. My producer said, no, bro, you've been full of it for a long time. Not just mucus. But my Pure Air Consultants can help you eliminate the possibility that mold, dirt, debris, microbes and fungi and all those things are caught up in your air ducts. And every time you turn the unit on, it's blowing it out, and then your respiratory issues continues unabated. Well, eliminate that and get those things cleaned out by our good friends over at My Pure Air Consultants. Worth every penny. And while they're there, they can clear the ducts in your clothes dryer also, which could be causing the same problems. And if you mention you heard about it on WYAB, you get $100 off your air duct cleaning. And you can say, out Radio Strongman told me about it. Or give them a call, 939-7420, area code 601. All right, folks, it is an open forum. We're going to be hearing from Andrew Gasser. He's going to remind us about the delegate this weekend. You want to become a delegate to your party's convention and you participate in your Democrat or Republican party. Becoming a delegate will help you get steeped in the knowledge of how it all works together. There is a method to the madness. And if you're not involved, folks, you don't understand. You think your vote is all that you need to do. No, you really need to get down on a more granular level. So Andrew will be calling in, telling us more about that when he does. We'll take his call. But we also have a clip we're going to play for you. Matter of fact, we may as well play it now. And this is going to make your blood boil regarding what our government is doing for the less fortunate amongst us in the world. Mr. Producer, if you would get that ready, we might as well play it while we wait on Andrew to call.
Phase two of
I need to announce. This is from Mike Adams, Brighteon.com. And he's interviewing a guest who's telling him everything, telling us about how the migrants are treated as compared to the American people. Listen to this.
Well, phase two of President Biden's border invasion has begun. Phase two. What is phase two? Well, let's listen to an integration specialist from the Catholic Charities explain how phase two has just begun. Listen.
I'm Claire Roining, the refugee integration specialist at Catholic Charities Milwaukee. Welcome Corps is a private refugee resettlement sponsorship program that allows private sponsors who are U.S. citizens or green card holders to help refugees who are in other countries to enter the United States through the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program. Now that the program has reached phase two, we may begin working on our applications to sponsor our friends and family.
So what in the world is going on here? And who are, what is the Catholic Charities? How are they integrating and bringing in illegal aliens into the United States with the backing of the Biden administration? What is actually happening here right under our noses? Let's bring in J.J. Carroll. He's the author of Invaded, of course, veteran of the Customs and Border Patrol for many, many years as a supervisor. He's written an amazing book on this. And I have to say, J.J., when you sent me this information, I was just blown away. And I think Americans have no idea what's happening. So first of all, let's start at the start of this. What is phase two of this entire border invasion process?
Okay. First off, thanks for having me back on. And phase two, I've witnessed this throughout my career, not to the level that it's happening now. I could never imagine what they're doing, but I watched this phase system come through. Phase one, flood the system with millions of illegal aliens. Throughout my career, I saw this happening. Phase two is allowing permanent resident aliens called lappers or people with green cards and United States citizens to sponsor illegal immigrants from foreign nations into America. But the arrogance of this administration working through the NGOs have spilled the beans, if you will. Nobody knows there's phases unless you were inside the belly of the beast and watched it through your career. Phase one, millions of people coming into America illegally. Phase one doesn't end, mind you. It just continues on. But phase two is bringing more foreign nationals into America under the guise of being sponsored. And to understand what sponsorship is, if I'm a natural, I'm a U.S. citizen or a green card holder, I'm allowed to sponsor my family members to come into America, which is great. If I'm married to someone, say, from the Philippines, and I want to bring them in legally, there's a process for that. Or I'm a lapper and I want to do that. I have no problem with that. However, what the Biden administration has done through Mayorkas and the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service, USCIS, has done is they've labeled all of the millions of people that have been paroled in as legal residents, lawfully permanent residents. So now they bestowed that title, which is they're illegal aliens. You can call them parole, asylum, whatever. When these individuals come in, Clayton, they get about 60 to 90 days to see an immigration inspector or immigration judge. They can't see an immigration judge in New York City to 2032. California is 2027 and beyond. They're never going to see an immigration judge, so they go out of status and thus become illegal aliens. So the USCIS has bestowed legal resident status on illegal aliens. So now illegal aliens can sponsor their family members to come into America.
So they're getting, so illegal immigrants now have legal authority to sponsor other illegal immigrants, even though they're not here legally, and they're still awaiting even seeing an immigration judge, which is pushed off by 10, 15, 20 years because they're all backed up so much that they can't do it.
Correct. That's absolutely correct. So the Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org, one of their investigative journalists named Nyla Rush did an article on this, and I agree with her completely because I've seen the stats. I know what's happening. So Biden administration has taken the countries of Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, and they shortened the term down to CHNVs, okay? They are now saying that those individuals from those countries that have been paroled into America are now legal residents and can bring all their family members in, just from those nations. However, there's a cutout that says those illegal aliens from those CHNVs can sponsor people or family members despite them being from other nations. Meaning if I'm from Venezuela, but my family member's from Iran, I can bring that person in from Iran. I'm not subject to that. What's even more malicious is the USCIS has now designated temporary protective status, TPS, DACA recipients, and deferred enforced deportation, which is DED. Those people under those blankets, those are all temporary, 18-month, you can stay in America. They've deemed them as legal residents as well. Why? Let me give you an example how devious this is. 2 weeks ago, President Biden did an executive order and gave deferred enforced deportation coverage to 6,000 Palestinian illegal aliens. 6,000 illegal aliens from Palestine here in America now are forbidden from being deported. They cannot be through deportations. Those 6,000 can now petition for all their family members living in the Gaza and in Palestine into America.
So what you're saying here is that all of these American, all of these now parolees can sponsor up to four illegal immigrants per people. So if we're talking 10 million people have come into the United States, and I know your number's in the book, I mean, it's just staggering how many people are already here. That basically could add an additional 40 million people into the United States.
Yes, but let's hold on 1 second, just so you understand. In the old system, if I wanted to sponsor someone, I had to fill out a government form I-134. It's a declaration of financial support. So I could only maybe bring in one person, maybe my father, my brother, because I only had the financial support to bring in one person. Well, DHS now said, hey, you don't have to provide that form anymore. Because the first question people should ask is, how is an illegal alien from Sudan that's living in the detention facility or a hotel, a Comfort Inn in Boston, Mass, how are they going to provide support for family members? Well, the DHS now claims that that all the NGOs, starting with Catholic Charities, they can be the sponsors, the financial sponsors. So instead of bringing just my brother over, I can bring my father, my mother, my brother and sister. I can bring their children. I can bring their spouses. I can bring grandma and grandpa, because there's no limitation on my financial support. The NGOs are now the backstop for that.
So I was going to ask you how the Catholic Charities fits into this. So these NGOs are being paid for by the Biden administration in order to facilitate this. They're making enormous amounts of money. And this is how the Biden administration gets away with it, right? They can pass it off to non-government organizations. So it's not the Biden administration.
Yes.
It's these private organizations. It's these 503C, whatever, you know, charities, et cetera. And by all accounts, they're supposed to be doing great work. Catholic Charities, that sounds like a great thing. So who is the Catholic Charities? What do they do?
Catholic Charities they are not affiliated, they say, with Catholic Church, but I'm a Catholic and I'm very aware Catholic Charities is tied at the hip with the Catholic Church. They are a nonprofit refugee resettlement group. That's probably, if I had to say their main thrust in their charitable work, is they resettle refugees. Now, that's not refugees like you and I think about back in the day, like people from Cambodia. We're talking about anyone that's illegal is considered a refugee. Let me explain how much money. Since 15 years prior to Biden taking office, Catholic Charities have received $3.5 billion from the U.S. government. $3.5 billion. Estimates now say by the time Joe Biden took office to now, that they've received another $3 billion. So we're encroaching on $7 billion. So when I tell you that the NGOs, be it United Way, Jewish Family Service, Lutheran Family Services, and all the hundreds of mom and pops, like literally mom and pops, we're paying taxpayer money to the NGOs. The NGOs are now using that money to bring illegal aliens into our country that are sponsored by them. Catholic Charities becomes the sponsor of millions. So Clayton, so your audience understands. So I bring in my father, my mother, my brother and sister. Well, once they get in, they turn around and they say, well, I need my spouse and my kids. And I need my grandma and grandpa. I need my aunts and uncles. So that 1, 2, 3, 4 turns in to 10, 15, 20 relatives. And here's another sick thing that you need to understand. Well, I'd like you to understand. I worked 24 years in the Border Patrol. I have Social Security. You're a working man. You're pouring into Social Security. You got truckers, 30 years, construction workers, nurses, stockbrokers, whatever. When I bring in my illegal alien grandma that's never, never worked a day in her life, do you know that she gets the maximum Social Security benefit payout?
What?
So she'll get more money than me? Yes. What? Absolutely. So when we're doing COLA, cost of living increases, for our grandmas and grandpas that are living paycheck to paycheck, and we're giving them a COLA increase of 1.5% or 0%, the illegal alien grandma from Sudan and Mexico, wherever on the planet Earth, she gets more money than the person
How?
That's worked her whole life.
I mean, this is infuriating. I mean,
let's take a break. All right, folks. Hey, we're back, and it is Tuesday. You just heard, folks. Keep voting for Joe Biden. Keep voting. Folks, you're losing this country. I keep trying to tell y'all. Folks, you have no idea how bad it's going to get. Now, they're bringing these people in. You're going to have one person working, like at the chicken plant, meat plant, whatever. You got one who's working. They're bringing in everybody else, and everybody else is collecting money. That's why I said, you know what? They're here now. We're going to revitalize the empty buildings and structures in Jackson. They got the money. They have our tax dollars. Don't blame them. Blame all those black Democrats who voted blindly for Joe Biden. All those black women who helped effect the Stacey Abrams black girl magic effect. You brought the country to its knees. And all you folks who carry guns for this government, they collect more retirement than you are. Seemed like a good idea at the time. They patted you on your head, gave you a gold watch, a badge, made you feel important, and got you to sell out your child's future. Let's go to Andrew Gasser. What's up, buddy? Hey, man.
Hey, Brother Ken. How's it going?
All is well. Thank you again for sitting in for the strong man on last Friday, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Brother Ken, I'll tell you what. It was an honor and a privilege. You got a great audience. It was learned a lot, and it was an honor and a privilege, brother. Thank you so much for that opportunity.
Absolutely. So what's going on in your world, my friend?
Well, today we got the Republican primary going on. I'm outside Wendell Baptist Church in Terry, and the turnout is abysmal. Normally we have about 500 people by now, and we're only at 74. So
wow.
I'm just calling to let the listeners know that there is a Republican primary today for the 2nd Congressional District. You got two men running. I'm a judge, so I'm not going to mention any names or any preferences, but you know, it's important that we get Republicans to get out and vote.
Folks, that is, and I forgot to remind you, we did have a guest the first hour, but that's right. You still have an hour and a half to make it to the polls. Vote tomorrow. Vote today for Ron Eller. That's who I will support. We encourage you to go on to the polls today and give Ron your help. He's dependent on you. Very low turnout. So that's, I mean, that's less than 12-13% of the vote.
Oh, Kim, it's crazy. In Terry, too, which is the strongest Republican precinct in all of Hinds County,
mm-hmm.
to only have 74 votes, we're under a quarter of 1%.
Wow.
If you think about it. It is absolutely abysmal. And, you know, I've made phone calls and tried to get all my networks out, and it's not just in Terry. Yeah, got them all over Hinds County.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you get the big voice and a wonderful audience, and you get people, let the people know that we've still got, I think, an hour and a half to vote. That sure would be appreciated, my man.
Well, we are going to remind them. Thank you for reminding us, my friend. That is very...
Amen, amen.
Look, quickly on the delegate next Saturday, give us an overview of what's required.
Yes. This Saturday, April 6th at 10 a.m. at every polling location across the state of Mississippi, the Republican Party is going to elect precinct delegates to go to the county convention to elect your county chairman, vice chairman, and secretary.
Mm-hmm.
This is critical because your party chairman, your county party chairman, determine the direction that the county is going to go for the next 4 years. They provide the vision of where it is. So are we going to reach out to the local communities? Are we going to do more? How are we going to expand that outreach? This is where we bring in new leadership. And it's not like a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. I'm not advocating that. But what I am saying is that
get involved.
We need to have more precinct delegates go into the county convention to say, hey, we like Trump. we want to do some of these new ideas that maybe in the past weren't acceptable or weren't deemed plausible. And unfortunately, there again, too, most of these delegates are elected with less than four or five people.
Mm.
So this Saturday is the day to change that. And then in Hinds County, we're really unique in that we will not hold our county convention until next Saturday, the 13th, where I think almost every other county in Mississippi will hold their convention the same day, April 6th. So Madison County, Rankin County, Yazoo County, Copiah County, Warren County, they'll all be on the 6th. The county conventions will be on the 6th as well as their precinct delegates. So, yeah, that's coming up. It only happens once every 4 years, Cam. So once we get our leadership, we're locked into that direction for the next 4 years.
Folks, and if you want to put the kibosh on any possible shenanigans, because you'll have your watching eyes on the process, now's the time to get involved. You know, now me personally, I felt like the runoff race with Mike Cassidy and Michael Guest was the subject of some shenanigans. The probability of the numbers falling the way they did was, you need to play the lottery if you're going to get those type of numbers. But nonetheless, you can get involved now. If you want to become a chairman of the county party where you are, this is your opportunity to do it. Get involved.
Yep, and learn the system so that you can get up there and use the system to empower the values and beliefs and things you want to see get done inside the Republican Party. And a lot of times it just needs one brave soul standing up and say, hey, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you start that change, and it's a beautiful thing.
Well, brother, we appreciate all that you do. Want to remind you folks, the polls will be open to 7 p.m. This is a Republican runoff for District 2. If you would go back out to the polls, if you're in District 2 and vote, I'm suggesting you vote for Ron Eller. He's my guy, and he has earned the right. He's run a hard campaign last time and this time, and we ask that you send him back as the nominee for the Republican Party against Congressman Benny Thompson in the fall. Andrew, we appreciate it. Anything else?
No, sir. Thank you so much for letting me come on the radio today.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you so much. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, folks. Hey, I want to remind you, the weather's warming up. Smith Marine Sales should be on your agenda. You want to stop by there and get your watercraft that you've been dreaming of. Ski-doos, pontoon boats, bass boats. If it floats, Smith Marine Sales has it. If it floats, Smith Marine Sales can service it. Check it out today, smithmarinesales.com. Smith Marine Sales on the res, smithmarinesales.com. And they're located on the res. Folks, we just encourage you to use them for all your watercraft needs, purchases, servicing. They got you covered. You want a Manitou pontoon boat? Well, they have those. And, of course, financing is available on everything they have there. Check it out today. All right, folks, it is an open forum. I'm trying to get that sent to you, my friend. Who was that asked for that? I'll send that a copy of that. But, no, folks, our country is being dismantled. And you can't convince people that this thing is going to collapse. They're getting these people over here. They're getting them hooked on this system. And we can't go on. Because remember, that's what they kept telling us. That's the reason why we can't have adequate water and sewer in Western Hinds County, west of Clinton. It's because we don't have enough money in our country to help fund the rebuilding or the building of a water supply system, fresh water supply system that would service all those cities and towns in between here and Warren County. But we got plenty of money for those folks. And it's all because of the way you choose to go to the polls uninformed. You think it's a game. I'm just telling you. Look, I've had a good run. You the one trying to come up. You the one got to survive. I'll be long gone in a distant memory. And as we see the country being set up for riots this summer, oh, to all you blacks out there who talk all that trash about Candace Owens being fired, as y'all say, or got her wake-up call, well, we're going to see if you're going to keep that same energy when blacks in Chicago start showing their red baboon booty during the Democrat convention and Joe Biden sending the goons in there to beat them folks down like Rodney King and George Floyd. Let's see if you show all that Black Lives Matter crap. I tell you now, you ain't going to do it. Because we saw what you did on Easter Sunday. The most holiest holiday of the Christian faith. And Joe Biden equates gay rights with the death of our Lord and Savior in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And you and the Barbara Mikes of the world, you can't even come up with an excuse for yourself. So you now you're silent. Folks, I'm just telling you, whether you want to accept it or not, and I know this is harsh, but you're a pagan. You're into paganism. Your ministry is not a serious ministry of Christ. It's a serious ministry for you. This is what I keep saying about Black Democrats and Democrats in general in the Democrat Party. At what point do y'all speak up on anything? Is there anything sacred? No, no, no. All you preachers, particularly you Black preachers, I'm calling you out. What y'all doing over there? You ain't with Christ. So why don't you just come out and say it? Hey, man, this is about me. I'm trying to get mine in this world. We'll worry about the other world later on, but right now, I got to get paid. The man, blasphemy, your Lord and Savior, dog. And you ain't said nothing. But with Donald Trump, oh, no, he's a womanizer. He's an adulterer. Okay, gotcha, I feel you. But you ain't got no problems with this here? You can't find your voice now? Bruh, you do not have a serious ministry, man. You have a ministry. It's just not serious. Not about what you say you're about. You ain't about that life, bruh. You are a pagan. You're a pagan. You're worshiping a pagan God. You're worshiping Joe Biden. And to all you other religions out there, let me just say something to you. Your religion ain't real either. You know how you know? Because Joe Biden let you worship. So Joe Biden don't even look at your God as a serious God. And Black Democrats don't look at their God as a serious God. So it looks like Joe Biden, he did a hard break in a game of eight. Ain't nobody serious. So Joe Biden and American government allow you to be a Muslim. Allow you to be any other religion but Christian. So whose God do Joe Biden think is the real God? And then you folks who are non-Christians, he's blaspheming your God by the fact that he's honoring your God in a country that's supposed to honor all creeds and colors and races and religions. In police work, that's called a clue. You don't have a serious religion, bro. You don't have a serious ministry. You can disagree with me, whatever. But I don't care what you say you believe in. You're going to get tested, hoss. You're going to get tested. So all you bishops, apostles, and all the rest of y'all, we're going to see what you're made of. We saw what happened to Barbara Mike. He collapsed like a folding chair. Let's go to Mobile Bob. Hey, my friend.
Hey, man.
What's up?
You hit the nail on the head. Like, at what point do you finally tell Biden and the Democrats they're going too far?
Yeah, they ain't going to do it. They ain't going to do it.
Like all these folks complaining about all these migrants coming over here and taking stuff from them. Okay, what are you going to do about it? Like that black guy told us.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you vote for Biden, then it's your fault. You going to do it again? Then no, just start complaining. Like you said with Candace Owens, got her wake-up call. Again, what has she said that is wrong because Ben Shapiro is a moron?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So she can't get along with Ben Shapiro. Okay, big deal. There's plenty of other fish in the sea. She can go to Glenn Beck. She can go to Elon Musk. Go to Twitter.
Yep. And then and then they're going to say, now she's trying to make the rounds to the black media. She's trying to crawl back. No, Candace has always gone wherever she's been invited. She regulated T.I. and not Big Mike. What's Mike's name? Killer Mike. She ain't afraid to go. You guys always want to withhold your hand of support and then want to say, now y'all crawling back. Now, here's the thing to all you content creators out there who's dropping salt on Candace Owens. Remember this here. She didn't stutter. She stood 10 toes down, said her piece. You on YouTube using all these euphemisms and everything else to keep from saying what you want to say because you're afraid of what? Being demonetized from who? The white man. Negro, sit your $5 butts down. You ain't about that life. You ain't about black folks. You just trying to get some clicks, likes, and some dollar bills.
Now, again, you cop trying to whatever Joe Biden says, whatever he does. Mm-hmm. Even when it's to your detriment. Even if it's to your detriment, all these migrants coming in. It's going to push the button anyway. Mm-hmm. Really? And you want to talk about Candace Owens? You really? Let Trump do what Biden did with all these migrants, all letting all these migrants in and the country. He did the opposite of this while we voted for him. If right. he were to turn around and start letting them all in, well, we cut him loose too.
That's right.
See, we have principles and you don't. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's pretty much that easy and easy to understand. I just don't see what the Democrats can do that even when you steady complaining about it, that what they can do to make you come loose. I'm still upset that I voted for the Bushes and all them way back
when. Oh, I'm so ashamed. Oh, my God. I can hardly hold my head up, bro.
Yeah, we cut them loose. Okay, you went where we didn't want to go, so guess what? See ya. That's what we do. Jeff Sessions, I'm still embarrassed by him. We'll cut you loose. Okay, what can they do to make – what can the Democrats do to make you cut them loose?
Right.
You just keep complaining about what they do and keep pushing the button.
Well, it's just like Satan is always going to rub your nose in sin. This is why I keep telling you. Look. I can tell you with all the certainty I can muster, Michael Guest is going to be openly humiliated by his association with those devils in the Democrat Party and all that backbiting and backstabbing he's been doing. And we all are. If we faking and shaking, it's going to get manifested. And all you black Democrats who are Christians, who are bishops and in the church, brother, you just got fronted off whether you acknowledge it or not. This man, your Lord and Savior, the one that you've been making your living off of your whole life, and you ain't said a word. You weren't as vocal as you was about Donald Trump and him grabbing him on the cat, him having an extramarital affair, an adulterous affair. Oh, you was all, you spring the length of your chain. But on Easter Sunday, bruh, what is it going to take, man? My thing is, cut them loose, man. These people, look, you don't want the Lord to crack the sky and you sitting up under these folks. They ain't serious about their life, man. They ain't serious. They're scared.
I did hear one black Catholic bishop, I think.
Yep.
You heard about him, too. Yeah. At least there's somebody out there with principle. Okay, man, really? Hmm. You really did this. You really went there. I mean, he acts like... he's a slave to these people. It's just unreal. And so, you know, they're only not even 2% of the population. How they got you wrapped around their little finger like that where you utter them, you talk about visibility, you won't let us forget about them. on the Lord's Day, you won't let us forget about them.
You know, I go days without thinking about gays or gay lifestyle or anything else. These people are obsessed with themselves. They're overly impressed with their importance. And the truth of the matter is, why don't you just go about your life, do your job, so what you say around, who gives a hoot? You're not all that, dog, girl, whatever your pronoun is. Nobody cares about you. Get over
it. I try to keep my doubling down. What's the name? Accuse me of mentioning them all the time. Yeah. I try to do it.
Yeah.
But I got to where I couldn't do it anymore. I really don't. To the degree, the way you're ruining my country, which is to a huge degree, I can't keep talking about you every day. But that's what the thing. They keep bringing something up so we can do it. That's probably a gaslighting operation to separate the country. I'm sure that's probably the majority of what it is. I don't think it can be.
Like I said, they are obsessed with themselves. And, you know, the bottom line is if everybody just get back to doing their task, staying on their square, and leave everybody else alone, so many of our problems will take care of itself. But we've got to subsidize white boo-boos and acknowledge delusions. And I'm not doing all that. I got other things to do. You're not that important. So I just say let them be upset. They got two choices.
Be upset.
You know, be upset or die. And I don't care which one they do.
What about Canada? Life's hard, get a helmet. Wear a helmet.
Yeah, precisely. But no, Candace was the only one, regardless of the cost she had to pay, she spoke her piece. And when I saw D.L. Hughley and all these other podcasters out there talking about Candace, I'm saying, wait a minute, you're speaking in code so you don't get kicked off YouTube. Man, please, sit down somewhere. Be a man about it. Say what you got to say and go on, make your money wherever else you can make it. But no, you want to make sure. And see, this is what get me about these black folks. They act like they got some special, like they shop at the special white folks store. The white folks they deal with are without fault or wrinkle. Get the heck out of here with that foolishness. Man.
Exactly. Well, like I said, they're playing their fish in the sea for her. She got enough money where she don't have to speak another word in her life.
That's so, right.
So what did she learn? Was her comeuppance? What?
Yeah, she got her her white card or black card, whatever. And you know what? Nobody's obsessed about. And you know what? These young folks who are obsessed about race, they ain't had no racism directed towards them. All they've done is just squandered opportunities, and they look at their wrecked lives of having missed the opportunities as being evidence of racism. No, it's evidence that you're an idiot. That's all it is. Anyway.
One thing before I go, I always think about, if it's possible to build a time machine and take a black person from 1924 and bring him to 2024 and tell black people oppressed and watch him beat upside the head the first black person who say they're oppressed and don't know what real oppression is.
Amen.
Yeah, I'd just love to do that one. I wish that were possible.
Yeah, with a time machine, we could show them. All right, brother, look, we appreciate
you. Man.
We're out of time. We'll be right back. All right, let's get one phone call in before we get out of here. Sylvia?
Hey, Tim. I know we're almost out of time, so I'll talk real quick. Candace Owens is going to be A-OK because she's just like a cat. You throw the cat up in the air, it always lands on their feet, on his feet. So that's what's going to happen. She's going to land on her feet, and she's going to just be better than even before. So she's going to be A-OK. And I did think, I forgot to tell Cliff this, but I wanted to tell you, why do these black women wear those satin sacks on their heads and think they're looking good? I mean, all the time I'm seeing these things on their heads. Why are they wearing them? It doesn't look cute. And then they'll have on a T-shirt and house shoes. I didn't notice that so much until you brought it out, but I'm telling you, it is really an epidemic. I don't understand. Did somebody tell them that they look good?
What is it? No, what is it they have on their head?
You know those satin.
Oh, the bonnets. The bonnets. The
oh,
bonnet.
It's a bonnet. Oh, yeah, okay, I didn't even.
I'll call them Jiffy Pop bags, but yeah, that's the bonnets they call them. Yeah.
Oh, well, they call them bonnets. Mm-hmm. Well, somebody needs to remind them that it's not a pretty sight, but that's an in-house wear. The T-shirt, like looking like pajamas in the house shoes, and you're outside, that's inside attire, not outside. And that's all I wanted to say. You have a good evening.
All right. Hey, so what happens if they get in your lift? With that on, they get put
actually,
out.
They do get in there with that on. That's why I'm talking about
it. Oh, okay.
They are. It's amazing to me how they dress. It blows my mind.
They're
I'm
casual.
Thinking, my mother would kill you. She would kill you looking like that.
Well, maybe they're just comfortable with their spouse. The spouse not going to leave them, and they They got them for life. It's almost a hostage situation. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to take a break.
I'd rather be unchosen, as you said. Talk to you later. Bye.
All righty. Let's take a break. We're back in 22 hours. Peace.